don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 7322. I still think they could go receiver in the draft. I think they could still go receiver in the draft, too. This is more, I don't think they're going to sign another wide receiver free agent. I think Noah Brown's it. And I don't think that they're going to go into the draft saying, we must draft the receiver. If one's there that you love, cool, do it. And Casario's had great success drafting receivers in the third round. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, both third rounders. So that's where I want the Texans to draft the receiver. And I agree that Woods would be the most likely cut. But in that instance, you're waiting until training camp to see if you can get out of it. This guy says, I still think they could receive in the draft. Mechie could be a camp cut. Anywhere you see Mechie not making the 53?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
I think it's definitely possible. Why? I think it's a play.
What has he shown on the field?
I thought he played pretty good in the second half of last year.
Yeah, but again, if you can upgrade it, it's better.
What, did he have, 15 catches?
Sure, but that was more than Hutchinson. I think he played better than Hutchinson.
I think both of them.
But that's why I said that. I said both Mechie and Hutchinson are possible casualties depending on how they come in and play at camp.
Mechie would be my third out of those guys. I would have Woods first, but they probably value veterans, and they look at Robert Woods as a leader, which we don't value as much, mound visits. Second, you would, to me, it's Xavier Hutchinson, sixth rounder, and then John Mechie, who was a former second. And I thought Mechie looked better last year. And I want to see what he looks like next year.
But because of expectations and where he is, and because I think that they feel like they were patient, making sure he was healthy as a human being first and then seeing where he was, that now we're at a point where they're just going to strictly make judgments based on football. And if in camp he looks like what we saw even at the end of last year, I think that if there's someone out there that's better, or maybe they draft a guy that looks good, I think he could be a casualty just as much as Hutchinson or Robert Woods.
How would you rank him?
Woods is definitely number one. Total agreement
on that.
And
then two or three.
I think Hutchinson is probably... No, I think Mechie's two and Hutchinson's three, because I think they like Hutchinson's size. They like the fact that he's got speed, quickness. I think his hands are in question a little bit, but I think that they liked what they saw of him too. And if they feel like that they can develop him further, I think I would put Mechie as ahead of Hutchinson.
I can't see them quitting John Mechie. I just can't.
The only reason why Mechie would be uncuttable is because you've invested a second round pick on him and you're hanging on because you want to look right
on
him.
Well, talent too.
Yeah, but
his upside.
He didn't show the talent last year.
Who do you think has more upside, Mechie or Hutchinson?
Mechie.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think both are on the table.
At this point, right now, you do?
I think so.
Hutchinson didn't show anything. Neither one of them showed anything last year, but at least Mechie comes in with some pedigree from college, and he has a second-round investment. So I think it makes him safer on this roster, but I don't think either one of them are ultimately safe, depending on what the Texans do over the rest of free agency in the draft.
Well, maybe so. I think you have your top four.
Nico, Tank, Robert Woods, probably. Noah Brown, and then a rookie. That's five.
Are you putting Woods at three?
No, I don't think he was ranking them in order.
Not necessarily in order. But you could already have your five and then have Mechie and Hutchinson down to playing for the last roster spot as the sixth wide receiver.
Now, would you keep Woods over either one of those guys?
It would depend on what they showed me in camp. Yeah. I'd be open to keeping Woods over it because it's not like he's costing you a whole lot. But Woods roster or spot on the roster, certainly not locked in cement either.
You'd have seven guys. You're keeping the rookie that you drafted in the second or third round. It should be Woods, Hutch, Mechie fighting for two jobs.
Yeah, I would agree.
Unless there's an injury.
Right.
And then you can keep them all. 713-780-ESPN. What about T. Higgins? We talked about this yesterday. I don't think any of us were interested in T. Higgins.
No, why are you going to give up draft capital?
It's our double whammy philosophy. You just shouldn't do it, and you don't know if he's guaranteed to be a true one when you get him, and then you pay him like one. I'm out.
Yeah. So there's that. 713-780-ESPN. So a lot of people were freaking out yesterday for the Texans not jumping out and signing a lot of these big name free agents, these top dollar free agents. So I wanted to do a little bit of a case study here and look at the past top five, seven-ish free agent signings in the last few years in free agency and see if it translates to winning. You want to go total dollars, guaranteed dollars, average annual value? What parameter do you want to use
here? I would say guaranteed. That's the only thing that matters.
All right, total guaranteed money. Last year, the top guaranteed money signing in the NFL, according to Spotrac, don't ask them, they won't answer you, $100 million for Derek Carr. That translate to winning?
No.
All right. Jawan Taylor was the second highest total guarantee, $60 million, played right tackle. I mean, that translated to winning. They won a Super Bowl. Did Jawan Taylor play up to that contract, though?
No.
There was a lot of disappointment with Jawan Taylor
both
last
tackles.
Year. Now, they did win the Super Bowl, so
but
you have
both
to mention
tackles
that.
Are on the block.
The
or,
next,
or one, I think Brown became a free agent.
The next highest guy was Mac McGlinchey. What team does Mike McGlinchey
Mike
play for?
McGlinchey.
Real quick.
I should know this.
Was that not what I said?
You said Mac the first time.
Mike, Mac, whatever. You screwed up Schlereth the other day. I didn't say anything.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You said Schlereth.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one said anything. No one threw you under
Easy,
the bus.
Bucky. I'm just.
Well, I am short, so that would actually
that would
track.
Fit.
Yeah.
That would fit.
Mike McGlinchey made $50 million guarantee, total guarantee on his signing. He plays for Denver. Like, who cares? We don't even know who Mike McGlinchey is. I called him Mac McGlinchey. We don't know who he is. Tremaine Edmonds signed with the Bears, total guarantee of $50 million.
Nope.
I mean, he's a decent player,
yeah,
good player.
Not for that much.
It didn't really translate to winning. Jimmy Garoppolo, $45 million guaranteed. They're about to cut the bum.
Nope, yeah.
They're about to cut the bum. Javon Hargrave, San Francisco. They won games. That was a good signing. $40 million guaranteed. Jesse Bates to Atlanta, left from Cincinnati.
He did.
Solid player. Didn't really translate
probably
to
probably the
anything.
Return on investment wasn't worth what they paid for him.
So, like, of those, how many did I just mention there? One, two,
six.
Four, six. I mentioned seven. Like, one or two really translate to, like, yeah. actual great return on investment. Let's pull up 2022 real quick. Top guaranteed contracts in free agency in 22. You're going to love this name at the top of this list. Von Miller. Von Miller.
God, no.
They're cursing Von Miller's name in Buffalo because of all the cap cuts
but
they're having
to make.
But yet
they didn't get rid of him. He restructured and stayed.
Well, I think it would have cost him too much to get rid of him because of the way the contract was. He was the top one. Terron Armstead in Miami got 43.3. That's a good player. That's a good player. I don't mind that one at all.
Because of injury.
Yeah, I don't mind that deal at all. J.C. Jackson, $40 million guaranteed. They already got rid of him. They already got rid of them. So, like, all these people, well, you know, you got to spend money. Look at all the money in the last 2 years. Christian Kirk was number four, which that was ridiculed at the time. I actually think Kirk has played to that contract.
He's been pretty good. He played pretty well until he got hurt.
Yeah, I agree. I don't dislike the Kirk contract, especially with a rookie quarterback. Marcus Williams to Baltimore, $37 million total guarantee. Good player.
Yeah,
and they won
player.
Games there. Okay, next on this list. Chandler Jones at $32 million. This was 2 years ago.
Arizona?
This was two off seasons ago. It was with Vegas. He left Arizona
to go to Vegas,
and then he fell off the earth. He became a psycho.
And yeah, he had a bunch of stuff off the
yeah.
I was going to say off the field. It wasn't even about his playing ability.
The guy after that, Allen Robinson, $30.7 million guaranteed.
Off the planet too.
So like these are the guys who are signing for these top guaranteed dollars. And everybody, well, you got to be spending. Do you?
I would push back, but I would push back in a way that actually makes your point. So it's weird to call it a pushback. So I'm pushing back because obviously in the NFL, when you got 22 starters, it's hard to link one free agent signing to winning because you have so many more starters than you do in the other sports. But that's also a reason not to go crazy because you need the money to have 22 starters.
Yeah, see, I'm
so
more balanced.
Pushing back
like
in
that.
A way that I think makes your point.
We'll go to 2021. This will be the third, this 3 year window here. Total guaranteed $55 million. Trent Williams, which they kept their own, but he did enter free agency. That's good. I mean, that's a good.
He's
sign.
A great player.
He's a great player. Maybe the best left tackle in the NFL.
Maybe, yep.
I can't knock that. Well, how do you say this guy's name? The guard from Kansas City, Joe Tunney?
Tooney.
$48 million guaranteed. Okay. All right. I mean, he was a good player.
Unbelievably, though, how many guys they're ready to move on from an offensive line that they spent all that money on.
Third was Kenny Golladay. That's the name you mentioned.
That's the one, the Giants.
Oh,
yeah. Huge bust.
That's what sparked me wanting to look at this. Kenny Golladay got $40 million guaranteed. Bud Dupree to Tennessee, he got $35 million guaranteed.
That didn't work out either.
No, not at all. Matt Judon left Baltimore to go to New England, $32 million. Good player. Bad team, though. Jonnu Smith was after that at 31-2.
Oh, to Atlanta? Yeah, that is.
I actually went to New England.
Oh, that's before he went to Atlanta, right? Yeah, no, that didn't work out. Because that was the same season they also signed Hunter Henry when the Patriots jumped out with a ton of money, mm-hmm. like right at the start of free agency, and they spent it on two tight ends. Yeah, that didn't work out for
them. Carl Lawson, $30 million guarantee. That worked out okay for them. But they're moving on this year. Shaq Griffin, $29 million guaranteed to go to Jacksonville. Not a good pickup.
Nope.
And then the last one here, Corey Davis, $27 million.
Oh, the wide receiver.
He retired before his contract expired.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Like, you look at the top free agent dollars given in the last 3 years, Very, very few dubs there. Very few victories there.
That's what I was talking about earlier when we were talking about all this, that a lot of the times that the fans that are clamoring, that are pissed off that they haven't done more, are not realizing that the teams that really make the biggest of the big splashes when free agency opens are the teams that are looking for the cachet and the sexiness of a big name that's done a lot in their past, but they don't really translate to helping them in their future or taking them over the hump to get to the next level or the ultimate level. And that's why I, for one, was not upset at all about how day one went for Nick Caserio and the Texans.
You don't build through free agency. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's take a look at what the Houston Texans have acquired so far in free agency and what it tells you about each player and what it means to the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I want to tell you about Human Resources and Payroll. You know them by HR&P. It's Cougar, owned by Mike Holly. Go Cougs. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in a variety of different ways. HR compliance, if you need a little help with that, they got you covered. Benefits administration, they got you covered. Payroll, they got your back. Onboarding, well, they have you there too. HR&P can help in any or all of these facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. You're not reading off a menu. It doesn't matter how small a job, doesn't matter how big a job, how much help you need. HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you will also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net. I know they hating on me, cause I'm the man. I'm too tree, homie, I don't give a man. I'm a self-made trillionaire. I'm a self-made trillionaire. From the underground to the top, I came from the bottom. Trill to get those stars, man, I'm going hotter. Self-made trillionaire. I'm a self-made trillionaire.
You are listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Houston's own Bun B performing tonight at the rodeo. Be nice to see Bun B in concert. But I saw Bun B perform a song live not that long ago.
Oh,
what did he do there, that Bun B?
Something I had to bleep out.
Oh.
You can Google the word.
Interesting way to bleep it out.
I've never heard of that.
What was that?
It was Brian Bennett trying to be Chopped and Scrooge right out of Houston's what it was.
Born and raised.
Brian's chopping, he's mixing it up back there. That's why we call Brian Talent. He's the only producer. Look at that.
There it is.
Look at the talent go. Look at talent go. All right, what do these moves for the Texans tell you about where they're at, these certain positions? We've talked about Joe Mixon all day. Joe Mixon now the second running back on the team. Okay, you want him to be your starting running back, like at least for a period of time. Maybe you sign another free agent that helps him out, a platoon type of deal. Maybe draft a rookie that you hope can beat him out at some point. But Joe Mixon, at least for the first half of the year, is your RB1, assuming health.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think, look, from the standpoint of being able to put this guy on the roster this late in what happened in free agency with all the running backs flying off the market, I think they could have done a lot worse. I'm excited to see what he has left in the tank. It's not a huge commitment in terms of the final year of his deal and the $6 million if he earns it. So I'm excited about the move. It was something that I didn't see coming. I was watching Aaron Jones closely. Obviously, I thought he'd be the perfect fit here. But if you're not thinking about more than a year, you got a guy that has a resume that says he's playing for another contract. He could be very good.
Yeah, that's where that you're at with that. The next guy on the list that we're going to discuss, what do you think it means with the Lonnie Johnson news?
This one's really perplexing to me. I just don't understand it. I guess it's depth, but he was kind of a tool when he was here, and he underperformed. And I understand that he's even saying, hey, second time around, I'm going to be better. I learned. We'll see. I just don't understand this one. I think there were other players out there that had better skill sets and more success that you could have gone after. So this one, to me, I'm curious about.
To me, it's just depth. And it's also a guy who can help you out in special teams. And something I've noticed, too, especially with the defense, is they like versatile guys. Lonnie Johnson's like a $2.5 million one-year deal. Yeah, he can play a little bit of nickel. He can play corner. He can play safety. Mm. Plus, he can play special teams. And a lot of what the Texans have done this offseason shows you how much they value special teams. Like, they've picked up a lot of special teams guys. They spent on Kyme Fairbairn, paid him top five money. They brought back the legend John Weeks, put him in the Ring of Honor. Delshawn Phillips, another, like, second, like, he's a special teams guy. They did let Cam Johnston go, but they brought back the Super Bowl winning punter,
the mullet,
Tommy Townsend, that hangs out with Taylor Swift after they win big games. So, like, they value special teams.
They do.
Danico Autry. What is the plan with Danico Autry?
I like this. I think Autry has been completely under the radar, and he could be a guy at half the price that could do a lot, go a long way to replacing John Grenard. I think that, you know, hearing people that have had to scheme against and know the abilities of Autry have spoken highly about him every time he takes the field. He's a difference maker. He's a disruptor. He's a guy that can get to the quarterback. I love this move. I think that this one quietly was one of the best moves that they made.
It's interesting what they plan on doing with him. I think he's a defensive end. I've still seen people clamor for, like, Danielle Hunter. Cody Davis mentioned earlier that the Texans are talking with Chase Young. Like, what's the plan if you're bringing in Autry and another defensive end?
Yeah, it's interesting, right, because Aaron Wilson said that the Texans are one of the teams that are in discussions with Danielle Hunter.
Autry has been very versatile. He's known for being versatile, and he's played a little bit inside. He's played in a bunch of 3-4 defenses where he's been the end of a 3-4, which can be in the middle. So he's played all over. Again, this is the versatility I'm talking about. I think that you can move him inside. I think you can play him outside. I don't think he's an every-down defensive tackle, whereas I think he can be an every-down defensive end and then move him inside on pass-rushing situations. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant on believing the rumors on the edge. Not that I don't believe the reporters. It's more, well, if you signed Danico Autry, and he's, like, I think he's more of a defensive end than a defensive tackle. Versatile, can do both, but I think more DN than DT. What are you doing bringing in another high-priced defensive end? I don't see it.
So this is what I would say to that, because I'm on the same page as you. I would say if you're in discussions at all with another defensive end, then you should be in discussions with Armstead, because Armstead is a D'Amico guy. And if you put Al Shaair and Armstead in the middle of a D'Amico defense,
yeah,
and they know him and he knows them, then there's no reason to believe that this defense shouldn't be ready to take another step in the right direction. I would hope that they're looking at Armstead, and they would be more willing to give the money to an interior defensive lineman if they're looking at any free agent defensive players at all.
Armstead kind of is in the same mold as Autry, where he can do both. Now, he's been more of a defensive tackle in the last couple of years than Autry, but even Armstead has played end in a 3-4, and he's also been somebody who's played defensive end.
I think he could be,
which
really
is versatile again. Now, yeah, I do too. I'm in favor of Arik Armstead, but I think him and Autry are pretty similar. So I don't know if I believe the defensive end stuff. I went and listened to Nick Caserio yesterday. He always does those pregame, you know, not really pregame. It's week of. He does, like, on a Wednesday or Thursday with Texans radio, yeah, and he talks about the other team's personnel. And I went and I listened to week 15 and week 17 when they played the Titans. He didn't really say anything too much about Autry or Al Shaair in week 15, but he did in week 17 after they played him 2 weeks ago. Here's what Caserio said about those two guys.
And then defensively, you know, a player who was a huge factor in the game was Danico Autry. And Danico has done this for a number of years. Now you're talking about a guy, here's a good example of a player who wasn't drafted. So here we are 10, 11 years later. He's still having a pretty significant impact during the course of the game. So we had problems with him during the course of the game. You know, Aziz made a lot of tackles. We kind of talked about him at linebacker there going into the game.
So there's that. I think that he fell in love with Danico Autry in week 15. I think I'm going to go back and watch that week 15 game. But you can, like, he didn't say anything about Danico Autry ahead of week 15. And then in week 17, the first player he mentioned was Danico Autry. Wow.
Breaking news. Texans have signed Danielle Hunter.
What in the world?
Wow. How much?
This is no details yet, but this is from Rap. Oh, actually, they are terms out. One tweet down, so it's a 2-year, $40 million contract with 48 fully guaranteed.
Okay,
20 per, and you get a kid. It's a homecoming, right? He's from here. Went to high school here.
Yeah, he did.
That's
All right.
But that guaranteed number again, all but 1 million of his contract is guaranteed.
$49 million, 2-year deal, 48 guaranteed. Danielle Hunter is a Houston Texan? What does it mean for the Texans? We'll break it all down next. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Guys, let me tell you about the latest and really, in my mind, greatest indoor golf simulator facility that I have found. It's X Golf and Katy. You can look them up online. X Golf and Katy is right there at 99 and I-10. And I'm telling you, if you go once, you're going to go multiple times. It's a great sports bar, first and foremost. Great food, great beverage, lots of TVs, clean, comfortable environment. It's a lot of fun. But when you couple it with 8 of the greatest golf simulators in the city, you are going to love it if you're a golfer even more, because you and your friends can go and play around on 50 of the greatest golf courses around the world, or you can use it like a driving range, and you can tune up your game. You can work on your chipping. You can work on your putting. Literally the best putters on a simulator that I have tried. And the fact is, you can do it while also watching sports, eating and drinking and having fun. It's fantastic. Whether the weather's bad and you're not going to be able to get your tee time in, or you just want to do it on off hours, like when it's dark outside and you don't want to go to an outdoor range, you can go indoors, you can tune up your game, even use your particular golf ball and put that in the simulator, and then also watch sports, have food, drinks, and fun. It's unbelievable. I can't speak highly enough about them, and I recommend that you check them out, because if you go once, you're going to go multiple times. Check them out today. It's X Golf in Katy.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Danielle Hunter is coming home. Morton Ranch High School grad is a Houston Texan. $49 million two-year deal with $48 million guaranteed. Why not just give him the extra million? But it is forming. I mean, I'm going to have to go do some deep diving on the defensive lines around the NFL, but this defensive line is elite.
Will Anderson
was unbelievable. Danielle Hunter is signed. Malik Collins is already here. And I thought you were signing Denico Autry to be a defensive end. I think you're moving him inside. So you look across the four, you got Anderson, Collins, Autry, and Danielle Hunter. Unbelievable.
I think Autry's definitely inside. I mean, the Texans have, I mean, under D'Amico, have played that wide nine. So if they're not expecting their defensive tackle to take up two gaps, then Autry, I think, certainly could play inside.
And you got some depth because you signed Fadakasi from Jacksonville. So he's a big run stopper. You got depth in the defensive line. This means that Rankins is out. And what you added, you think about the best defensive lines in football a year ago. I think San Francisco would be at the top of the list. Cap casualties all over for them as they're letting guys go left and right, and they're not going to be the same defensive line. Same thing with the Chargers. They had on paper what looked like a very destructive defensive line. They're having to get rid of guys and maybe having to get rid of more. This does exactly what D'Amico said he wanted when we got done with the end of the regular season, with the end of the season.
You look at Danielle Hunter last couple of years and the problems that he created for opposing offenses. He had 16 and a half sacks last year. I know he's 29. He's going to be 30 this year. It's a two-year deal, which Caserio operates in two-year increments, not
Thank
windows,
you. Thank you.
Even though he knew what windows were the last two or three years. The Texans upgraded a defensive end. They upgraded.
Sure from,
and it's
Oh, yeah.
They
Hunter,
just, Hunter's better than Grenard.
Yeah, you and just traded Grenard for $19 million
and Hunter went for 23.
You won the trade.
Yeah, certainly on a two-year increment, you won the trade. I mean, we'll see what happens with Grenard.
But also over
Grenard.
The career statistics, too. We talked about Grenard with injuries. We talked about the ups and the downs. This guy's been pretty damn dominant
the last couple of years.
Yeah,
you're right. And beyond the contract, Hunter is a better player right now than Jonathan Grenard. I don't think that could be argued. I mean, Grenard's done it 1 year. Hunter's done it for multiple seasons. And I think you're right, Jeremy. I mean, we'd have to look up, you know, and dive in and look at all the defensive lines across the league. But I'm a gut feeling right now it's a top three defensive line.
What I want for my defense is I want them to wreck the opposing offense. Especially the quarterback. Like, you have to make a quarterback's life difficult to win in the NFL. Because I think these quarterbacks now in the NFL are really, really good. And if you give them a lot of time, they're going to pick you apart. If you can't chase them down, you're going to get the Lamar Jacksons, the Justin Fields, the Josh Allens that are going to be able to run all over you. I think that whenever you sign the Aziz Alshire, he's somebody who's incredibly fast, can get downhill, can get to the quarterback. You look at the defensive line, just like the size they brought in. Danielle Hunter, throw the sacks aside for a moment. You shouldn't be doing that. Danielle Hunter, 6'5", 263 pounds. It's going to be on the edge. Grenard's a little bit smaller than that, shorter than that. Doesn't eat the space like that. And if you're eating space, it means you're stopping the run a little bit better. Danico Autry, I think he's going to play defensive tackle now. A little bit slimmer for defensive tackle, but he's 6'5", 285, long.
Get
the interior pressure. I think interior pressure is really important to have for a defense to get to the quarterback. But think about going up against the Houston Texans defensive line now. You're going to have Danielle Hunter on this side, where he had 16.5 sacks last year, 10.5 sacks the year prior to that. You look at his last five seasons, which he's had 62 sacks. That's the guy on that end. You look at the opposite side, there's Will Anderson, one of the youngest, best defensive ends in all of football, who had a really good rookie season. And then you look in the middle, and you have a really solid defensive tackle in Malik Collins. And then you have another guy in Danico Autry that can get to the quarterback from the interior defensive line. This is exactly what D'Amico Ryans has wanted forever.
No doubt about it. And then, like I said, and you add Fadakasi as some depth. You have some depth now. You've got the big kid from Notre Dame coming back.
Heinisch,
if you need even more depth. But you have the ability to put the beef in there to stop the run. You have the ability to do what you say. And now your secondary, no matter who you have and who's your second corner and what you do at safety, your secondary's job got a whole lot easier because your front seven's going to wreak havoc and to your point, Jeremy, put a whole lot of extra pressure on a quarterback, which means there's less time to get the ball off, less time for receivers to get open, better for your entire back of your defense.
This is a sexy, sexy defense right now. It really is.
It's hard for, like, my needle doesn't get moved a whole lot. Like, I'm usually pretty,
pretty even killed.
No, I was about to. Setting it up. Okay. Unless it was the Case Keenum signing.
Oh, boy.
I am having fantasies about this defensive line. Like, this moves my needle to a 10. I think that this puts the Houston Texans, and, like, I don't want to make these grand proclamations on March 12th, but how is this defense not a top 10 defense minimum next year?
D'Amico's put his blueprint on the Houston Texans. I mean, look at what they did in San Francisco to make that defensive front great. I mean, they invested heavily in the defensive front, and they got really fast linebackers, and then D'Amico coached them up. That's exactly what he's done here in this offseason and last offseason with the drafting of Will Anderson. It's hard not to look at what happened in San Francisco and not see that the Texans could be exactly where the Niners have been.
This is exactly what D'Amico has dreamed of coming here. Give me the same kind of weapons. Because we knew when he wanted to run defensively, he really couldn't do with the personnel he had to start the season. He's got the roster now.
He's got the guys he wants.
Absolutely. He's got the tools in his shed to go absolutely reconstruct his San Francisco defense.
Josh from Seabrook, we got Danielle Hunter. Cool. Now let's get Eric Armstead and give the quarterbacks and the rest of the AFC South to worry about. I think they're out of the Eric Armstead business.
I think they're out of the big-time money now.
I think they're done on defensive line.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to give extra attention to Danielle Hunter. You're not going to be able to give extra attention to Will Anderson. And you have the respect of a Danico Autry who had 11.5 sacks last year. He was moving inside and out, but it's a guy who's going to be able to give you interior pressure. Like, good luck blocking that. And then you're going to be able to stop the run much better than that as well. I mean, just look at the starters now. We just went through the front four with Hunter, Anderson, your bookends, Collins, and Autry up the middle. You have Alshire, who you signed from Tennessee, who had over like 150 combined tackles last year. You have Christian Harris, who came on at the end of last season, was playing at a very, very high level. I don't know if you're going to play a whole lot of 4-3, if you're going to play a whole lot of nickel. I don't think the guy they signed yesterday they're really looking at to be a starter. Maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe you can upgrade there a little bit. I don't know. You brought back Denzel Ward. He's going to be your nickel corner. Potentially, maybe Lonnie Johnson gets into the mix there. Maybe they have another pickup or two where they can compete for that. You have Derek Stingley, who was really good last year. You signed Okuda, who is kind of a project. He is super talented, very high draft pick, hasn't lived up to that potential. He tore his Achilles a couple of years ago. And then, you know, you have Petrie and Ward as your safeties right now. I'd like to upgrade that Ward safety position. But just on paper, and I know you don't play it on paper, that's a top 10 defense in the NFL.
Yeah, I would go even higher than that, and I definitely think it focuses your priorities in the draft. I mean, when we get back to doing mock draft seasons, I think we're going to be looking at corner. And that maybe was like when free agency started yesterday, we were talking about, man, look at the depth of this corner room. There's a lot of Stingley and then the guys that you want as your fourth or fifth corner. I think that was maybe a sign of things to come because it almost doesn't matter to a degree when your defensive line is that great. But certainly I would expect the Texans to spend a first first or second round pick on a corner. And if that happens, you're adding a first round talent corner to this mix.
Yeah, I forgot top, about pick top 23 tens. For a moment.
Yeah, pick 23 definitely. Pick 23 as much for a
moment. Top 10 feels on the low end to
I mean, the thing is that everybody's throwing other names out there. Armstead, Chase Young. They're done. They're done spending on the defensive
especially,
line.
Especially, yeah, they wouldn't
maybe
be.
Death. Yeah,
be
yeah maybe
but, Chase but Young. For no for. And for as much as I said I want them to use that first-round pick on defense, now I want them to use that first-round pick on a corner. Because if they go get a first-round corner to add to what they've done in free agency with defense, this is essentially the plan when we were talking about laying it out.
That's what I was thinking
use
about.
All your free agency money on your defense and then go use all your the majority of your draft picks on your offense. What's wrong with this plan right now? Well, I mean, for everybody that was losing their mind yesterday –
yeah.
What are you feeling right now?
Yeah, yeah. It makes you look a little silly.
Yeah. That's why we kept saying, just relax. Like a lot of, let it play out.
A lot of material for Bad Take Boulevard on Thursday,
oh, for sure. The overreactions we saw Monday, March 11th, day one of the legal tampering period.
From the start of the show.
You have a little bit of mud, a little egg on your face, no doubt. But it also goes to, like, one of the philosophies I thought would be smart by Caserio. Is because you're expected to be a playoff team, maybe now a Super Bowl contender, you want to go into the draft with starting capable players at each position. I think that they've done that.
No doubt.
Like running back with Mixon, left guard. I think that Kenyon Green and Jared Patterson are good enough to fight for that spot. I wouldn't hate left guard at 23 either, by the way.
Right.
But now you have two defensive ends, you're good there. Two defensive tackles, you're good there. You signed a linebacker with Harris. You have two there that you like. Maybe you can bring in one more. Maybe Henry Toho takes the step up. I don't want him to be projected starter.
He's fine as depth, though.
But even Okuda, like he's a capable starter. Jimmy Ward, I wish that they would kind of move in a different direction there. I think he is a capable starter. So the Texans have positioned themselves in free agency after just 2 days, by the way. They've already positioned themselves where they can chill at 23 and let whoever falls to them fall to them and take the best player
not
available.
BPA, yeah.
Because you have a starting capable starting lineup, very good, more than capable. So you're like, even like, I do agree that corner can be the one thing that helps you the most, but say there's not a corner there that you love and you love Brian Thomas and he's there at 23 because you filled holes in free agency, cool. Take BPA, take Brian Thomas, and you have your trio of receivers that you were talking
whether
about.
Whether it's corner, receiver, or guard, those are the three positions
that are
going to be sitting there. And someone's probably going to slide a little in the first round
chill,
to where someone could fall right into your lap and fill one of those positions unexpectedly and make you even better.
Did the I mean, now more than ever, you're BPA. You don't have to take Chop Robinson if he's there. If you love somebody else more, you take them. 9361, do the Texans overpay for Hunter? Now they got a defensive end. Where does the main focus go with the first round? We just addressed that. Do you think they overpaid for Hunter here?
I get 25 per year, or basically 25 a year, because the max is 51. 25 per year is something that I think we've talked about feeling like an overpay for most of the defensive end market, but if it's a 2-year deal, I'm not going to really get worked up on the AAV.
I'm with
cut
you
Robert
on that.
Woods to get $5 million back.
There you go. There
I'm
you
saying.
Go.
You had to spend the money. It's kind of like where the Rockets were this past offseason. Uh-huh. You have to spend the money. Did you want to sit on $50 million? No, you wanted to spend the money, so they spent the money,
but
and
remember,
they did it on a short-term deal.
Caserio said, you don't have to spend it all in 1 year. You can spread it out over a 2-year window or 2-year period.
And it
looks like he's going to spend it all in 1 year.
All this money they've spent over the last few days that we're talking about with Danico Autry and Hunter and Shahir, all those guys are off the books when C.J. Stroud has his next contract.
Yeah.
So you're operating within a window where you can
sorry.
You're working within an increment where you can afford to spend more than maybe you normally would.
No, I didn't notice. I was tuning you out. 6927, 2 days in a row, Branham has said bring back Denzel Ward. My bad. I meant Desmond King. You're right. That's on me.
You could also say Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, I think I confused him. That's what happened. Because I was looking at corner.
I listened to you.
I was looking at nickel and safety. Clowney 1 year deal would be crazy.
We're done. We're done with.
I don't think you're done.
I think they're done spending on free agents on the defensive line.
I think they're going to sign one more defensive end. I just don't think he's going to be good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a Jack. Not even that. I think it could be like a Jerry Hughes. Like it's going to be a guy who can fill a roster. Because right now you have three defensive ends. You're going to carry four, maybe five, and you have Anderson, Hunter, and Dylan Horton, who's coming off of Hodgkin's lymphoma. So you're going
to
sign depth pieces, but they're not going
to
sign a splashy name. You could, sure. You sure. But I also think that they're going to sign a guy on a $2.5 million 1 year deal, which again, it could be like Jerry Hughes. It could be Jerry Hughes' back to be the
and
mentor.
Jerry Hughes wasn't bad last year, so he can come back.
You're still going to sign defensive ends.
And he's local.
But it's going to be low cost.
He'll take a lesser figure to be a part of this, knowing that he's not going to have the taxing role, but that he could still help. Jerry Hughes would be fine coming back.
So he said, bring back Charlie Ward. There's another Ward for you. 0974, what about safety? Are we going to rely on Jimmy Ward making it through the season? I hope not. I think there's a lot of really good safeties out on the market. I think you can upgrade there. I don't even think you need to cut Jimmy Ward. I think you can make Jimmy Ward your third safety, have some really good depth there. So you could go free agent safety that you sign, because I think the position's oversaturated. Just sign the bargain deal. You have Petrie that would be starting alongside him. You have Jimmy Ward, the veteran third guy in a pinch. And then you signed Eric Murray because he's a special teams ace. And there are your four safeties. Mm-hmm. So I still think you could sign a safety. I kind of want him to, because I don't want Jimmy Ward to be starting.
No, I'm with you. And if there's somehow some way that he can stay healthy all year and kind of resurrect everything that went wrong last year, he's a D'Amico guy, so he can be used in a lot of different ways to fit right into this defense. But if not as a depth piece so that there's not as much on him so that he can stay healthier, so be it. He's a veteran, he's smart, and he knows D'Amico's system.
Honey Glaze Branham says, this U of H homer meant Greg Ward Jr. Yeah, he's always on my mind. He's awesome. 9666 Jackson. He was bouncing around last year with Philly. He's been with Philly a lot.
That was his main team.
He's been like cut 53 practice squad. He's been like this vicious cycle, but he's done good, and he's just still be in the league. 9666 Jackson Powers in the first sounds really good. I agree. I think Jackson Powers would be your Linderbaum and be your starting center for a decade. Oof. And you would never bat an eye.
That would be unbelievable. And then would you move Juice to guard?
I would.
Yeah.
I think Juice's best position is center. So it kind of like puts a little caveat into taking Jackson Powers.
But if Juice could be better than Green, if Kenyon Green isn't very good, then at least you've upgraded the position for next year.
You put yourself in a spot where you have three guys competing for one spot at that point. So I feel a lot better when you're taking the best of three as compared to being forced into one guy.
Brandon T, for all the casual fans that were complaining about free agency yesterday that don't understand how to build a real roster instead of making sexy splashes. Well, this is a sexy splash. Trust in Caserio. Would you rather him building a fantasy football team, or would you prefer a top-notch GM build your roster like a Fortune 500 company? Trust Caserio. I'm not doubting Caserio. I don't like what he said about Windows, but I like Caserio right now.
We basically told you that. Just wait till the dust settles before you lose your mind.
All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a word for Vanderford Heating and Air Conditioning, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. They are the best in the business because they are absolutely fantastic, and they take care of you with guarantees across the board. You know that the air conditioning season is coming. You know that those dog days are right around the corner, and you know that you have to be prepared. In order to be prepared, you need a local company that is going to be there and versatile for you. That's why you need Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air, for all your HVAC needs and all your plumbing needs, are going to be there for you every step of the way. 24-hour guaranteed return to get to you when you call them and say you need them. That's absolutely fantastic. Most companies, they're going to make you wait a couple of days. You know, in the 100-degree heat, that is not something that you want to do. But the fact that they also are able to give you a 100% money-back guarantee that guarantees you will get the best value at the lowest cost to you, that also guarantees that there is no risk, that you have the guarantee that they will back up everything they do, whether it's a repair or a total replacement of a part or your HVAC system or anything to do with your plumbing. You have the comfort assurance guarantee that the temperature is going to be right, the quality workmanship guarantee that it's going to work well, the performance guarantee that it operates just like the factory said it was, and the 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back that you are pleased with what they did, what they had to do, the parts they had to use, and what they put in for you. That's why you go to them, because these other companies are going to hem and haw, try to keep your money, and you don't know if they're coming back or they're going to back up anything. Everything's in writing with Vanderford Air, and with all their plumbing and HVAC repair work and their replacements, they are going to back it 100%. That's what you want, especially in Houston, Texas. Call them today, 281-557-COOL. Easy to remember, and they're going to take care of it. 281-557-COOL, or visit them at VanderfordAir.com.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Now Hunter's a Houston Texan. No car wreck there. Car wreck for the rest of the league. Today is the day that will live in infamy for the rest of the NFL. Blankers, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day?
The whole Tiki Barber, Saquon Barkley mess has been entertaining, but a complete car wreck. Because the minute that Saquon signed with the Eagles, Tiki Barber, kind of tongue-in-cheek if you listen to the audio and don't just read the tweets, but basically said, you're dead to me, you're dead to us, in terms of Saquon. And Saquon didn't like it and clapped back. And then I found it even funnier because someone brought dug up when Tiki Barber abruptly retired. The quote was, I should be able to choose when I want to leave and if I want to stay. Some people, particularly radio personalities who will remain nameless, criticize me for having a vision or a dream. Hilarious. Do as I say, not as I do. And then as a radio personality, he did what he did.
There's a lot there. A lot to unpack. I think I saw Tiki Barber on a Housewives of New York. My wife was watching the other. I was like, is that Tiki Barber? He's on Broadway.
Didn't he, wasn't he married? I don't remember. Wasn't he married and then
he was married,
found a girlfriend and then ended up leaving his wife to marry her?
Yeah, I think it's her.
Well, he left a pregnant wife to,
get
with someone that he met, I believe, on Good Morning America.
Yeah, I think she's
like
now
that.
The Real Housewife.
Yes, now she's the his wife.
I think I saw that like last year. Okay. I'm going to nominate the Ravens for letting Queen leave them to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to a division rival. Oof. Not great.
So there's a lot of things to watch. Like Aaron Jones leaves Green Bay to go to Minnesota, where all good ex-Packers go to die.
Yeah.
And now Queen leaves Baltimore to go to Pittsburgh. That's going to be interesting when they play.
I like Derrick Henry. I would have rather had Patrick Queen than Derrick Henry. I would have made that
because we've
decision.
Said the fact that the Ravens are capable of putting just about anybody at running back and they get yards.
Yeah. What are you nominating, Brian?
Quickly, I will nominate the overreactions from yesterday about the Texans offseason. Good
one. I'll go with that one.
Somebody said Paul for car wreck of the day. I'm not familiar with what Paul did to deserve that.
I'm not either.
Brian, are you familiar?
I didn't see it, no.
Is there a chance he didn't know some more football players?
0754. Who did he not know?
Oh, there's a lot of guys.
0754, car wreck of the day is Joe George because he is a bad word.
Jeez. Alex Joe now did. Texting?
I don't think Alex would go that far. And then 3338, car wreck of the day, Branham mixing up all the wards. Texans just signed Montgomery Ward, he said. All right, who's winning?
It's easy. The overreactions of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my vote.
That's a good call.
Because we even warned you not to do it. You did it anyway.
Congratulations to the overreactors of yesterday for winning our car wreck of the day. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's blank. I am Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Coming up later, Hall of Fame, Booker T, Brad Gilmore at 7 o'clock. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.